You know what time it is. Welcome to Great Table Talk. Childhood friends coming together to make a difference in our everyday community. Enjoy this week's episode. Welcome to Great Table Talk, everyone. It's your girl, Cash.
It's Ree.
And we have here with us Pastor Jay and Lady Jay. How you guys doing?
We're great. How are you?
We're doing great.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
I am. Look, hopefully we have many more of you guys. We want to do many more sessions in the future.
Right.
So this podcast is a continuation of our faith series. And as you recall, our series last year that we had the faith, hope, and religion.
Yeah.
So we're just going to call this the faith series, and whatever that means to you. So it's going to bridge on religion, sometimes love, faith, relationships. We're just going to kind of give a biblical take to it.
Right.
So let's open up with our traditional hot topic.
Yes.
You ready? So read what you got.
Okay, so there is a church in Orlando, Castle Church. And that's what the article says. So we're gonna talk about it. Now they have a new way in their regards of bringing in people into their church by calling themselves Orlando's First Church Brewery, where they're offering beer to guests and parishioners who come through the church. So we want to know, what are your thoughts?
Well, let me just tell you, if they offer wine, okay, no, it's fine. I'm not a beer drinker, so that probably wouldn't appease me, and I kind of feel a certain kind of way. But I want to let you all say what your take on it is.
All right, so we're supposed to be everything to everybody.
I'm joking. I know.
So we're going to let the good pass answer that question. I'm not a beer drinker either, but I'm sure they have good rationales as it relates to why. But let's see what the pastor has to say about that.
Put me on the spot. you know what? Nothing's wrong with drinking beer, right?
Right.
Too much of anything is an excess, is the sin, or, you know, the indiscretion. But I wouldn't do it. Let me say it like that. You know, had a commercial I saw yesterday, right? The dude was at a board meeting and he like nailed a presentation. So, you know, after the presentation, he take out a bottle, a Heineken bottle, in the boardroom.
What?
You know? And then there's a brother, in fact,
table
full of, with a boardroom full of.
Right.
So, he take out a Heineken, he's sitting there, and they all looking at him like, what's wrong? What's up with this dude? This dude? And then he turned the bottle around, and it's no alcohol. Non-alcoholic Heineken.
Okay.
So that's just crazy that you bring this
play
up.
On the right.
And then, so, you know, man, this is something I learned. God can defend himself. I don't have to say, you wrong this.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, I got my convictions.
That's a very good take.
You running your convictions. Mm-hmm. God can defend himself. He can shut it all down if he want to.
Yeah.
It's outside of what the realm is. Now, we know traditionally, that's totally outside the realms of anything appropriate to call church.
Right.
But, you know, revelation is something that you got to get a revelation of. So.
But I think in this case, you know, it would be applicable to say it's a time and a place for
everything. Absolutely.
You know, so perhaps the church may not necessarily be the place for it, but again, if you're trying to get that common ground, you can get a common ground outside of that.
Because we
have to be careful, even the very image that we portray that may cause other people to fall.
So. All right, let me, I know we're on hot topic. What makes it a bad image? Because it's beer. And it's not like it's Coachella or something like that.
Right.
It's just, they're saying, like, we could come here and buy beer.
They did specify that it's not being served during service.
See? You got to get the whole story.
You know, it is, you know, it's prior to, it's kind of like the fellowship prior to. And they have, you know, beer and snacks and things of that nature.
Right.
And I really think it's important. I think one of the things that even growing up myself, I struggle with the, I don't want to get too deep, but traditionally what has been right or wrong in the eyes of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the religious me be like, no. Even be honest with you, if I go to a church and they have beer, I'm like, I don't think I want to be here. You know, I don't even like beer. I'm going to be honest with you. There's certain things that I like, but I wouldn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't want I'm a clown. I like to joke and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But if my doctor walks into the doctor's office and I'm trying to find some important news, And he'd be like, guess what? I think you pregnant. I'm like, pregnant? Wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? Like, you, there's a time and place for everything. And I don't, he got to have a sense of humor. But again, so I think for me, the stigma of what traditionally the church has been would cause me to have pause when seeing that that's their methods. Mm-hmm. But like you said, I mean, God is the ultimate judge. It's just not my thing. I probably wouldn't roll through.
I guess what mm-hmm. When I say that, I basically mean because you can get that anywhere. So when you talk about mm-hmm. coming to the church, it's a certain, I guess, environment that should be conducive for just mm-hmm. worship and to be sanctified. Again, that can happen at home. That can happen mm-hmm. at your girlfriend's house. That can happen, you know, outside just a fellowship. But when you're talking about coming into the sacred, you know, walls of Christ, I just think certain things should be off limits.
So let me challenge this in. So they got coffee shops in church. I don't drink coffee. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
I'm not traditionally, that that's not a, yeah.
Right. Nah, it's, like I think it's more with the stigma mm-hmm. of what beer represents, mm-hmm. people drinking, having a good time, mm-hmm. partying.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that's the totality of mm-hmm. anybody's experience with beer.
And I think that's about the also the gateway causes to this also. So now, because now it's beer, can now it be Jack Daniel next week?
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to be, you know, cautious mm-hmm. of that. So now when you think about coffee, it's not necessarily a gateway for something else to, you know, happen out of coffee. But beer, you know, well, they let beer, then, you know, bring wine.
Okay, and, remember, you know, remember so. This? Okay, let's go here. I remember when Kirk Franklin first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And Stomp. Boy, my daddy in the church, you put Stomp on if you want to. Let the children start singing Stomp or something.
It was a problem.
It was an issue. You get what I'm saying? So, because traditionally that wasn't the thing. I, in church, we couldn't wear pants. You know, it was.
Yeah,
so, you get what I'm saying? Like, I understand we get to the point as humans, we kind of want to push the envelope with certain mm-hmm. things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's discretion, and it's, of course, what you feel comfortable with. And I'm okay with being radical, but I'm also certainly okay with keeping some tradition in there.
Yeah, and it's a fine line. Mm-hmm. I think I heard Bishop Kenneth Alma say, you got to be willing to be, in an effort to be attractive, you can't miss being authentic.
Good,
in other words, mm-hmm. you know, don't leave the foundation of the principles of truth to so that
very
you can
good.
Attract people. You know what I mean?
And I think that's what the church, the modern day church is doing a lot of, because we want to become so relevant to people, we're mm-hmm. willing to go against
that's
some
right.
of the
that's
things
good.
That we know, the principles that God never intended to the church to be able to have. Now, again, to be authentic and to be relevant is totally different, of course. We want to be able to reach everybody, but at the cost of somebody else faltering, because naturally, come on, you all know, like I said, it's going to be a progression thing. Something's going to transpire because of this. Now, okay, well, the church in California did it, so church in Chicago feel like, you know what, well, marijuana is legal, so maybe we can, you know, have so, you know, you just have to be careful of that. And again, it may be very broad of pushing it a little bit, but
I get
no,
it.
I don't think that's pushing it at all because, you know, it's different forms of things that, because we look at it from our culture perspective.
Yeah.
Our culture perspective.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Right? But if we go outside of our culture, we'll mm-hmm. see things that are readily accepted in other cultures that we would straight up detest, mm-hmm. you know, that we would straight up be, even in a Christian, a believing context,
mm-hmm.
even in a believing context, we will say, well, that ain't how you supposed to do this, mm-hmm. you know, that ain't how you supposed to do that. So, that's what I believe the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, be led by the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could get down to this. The Spirit could be telling you to do something radical outside of the box mm-hmm. because you're scared of how people are going to perceive mm-hmm. it.
Right.
Then you resist where it is mm-hmm. God trying to lead you.
Okay.
So, I mean, that even goes back to the whole, you know, several years ago, we had a lot of churches giving gas cards. So now y'all paying people to come to church? No, it's mm-hmm. just being able to reach people mm-hmm. where they are. So again, that just to, you know, go back on what you just said,
a lot of
times God will allow you to go the extra miles to be able mm-hmm. to be reachable to people.
Right.
Some people may not be able to receive that. No, we're not trying to pay people to come to church, but at the same time, if that's what's going to reach them, you know, we need to do what we have to do.
Certainly. Mm-hmm.
And if you want to donate to Triumphant Church's gas campaign, you can send your donation.
I'm going to check the gas cards right now.
Cash out.
So which kind of ties into what we wanted to talk to you all about.
Wait, that's hot times over?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
I mean, like,
quick little. They might have something juicy, or you know.
We often have like the podcast episode of like all hot topics.
I got you.
You know, we just gonna ease you into this, then we gonna throw you into that. Like, do you drive a Bentley? That's what the next thing. You know, but no.
Who's paying for it?
Yeah.
Right.
So why go to church?
Why go to church?
People want to know. Our culture has adopted the idea of us being our own God, to us needing to read the Bible and have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Why go to church?
I go to church because I'm a believer, and believers go to church. Mm-hmm. That's why I go to church. Mm-hmm. If you call yourself a believer, I don't necessarily say Christian too much, because I think that's way contextually outside of everybody's a Christian, but do we walk the walk that we talk, right? Yeah. So, but I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and that's the principles, precepts, finding the word of God that he said, I give you a shepherd, Jeremiah chapter 3:15, according to my heart, that's going to lead you in knowledge and understanding. Mm-hmm. So if that's the what God has given me, then I must be willing to allow myself to align with the word of God. So believers go to church. Mm-hmm. A fish can't live outside of water. So a believer can't breathe or purpose be fulfilled in them outside of the realm of the environment that's going to allow them to flourish.
Absolutely. I like that analogy.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
I thought you were going, well, they do not forsake the assembly. But
I was going to go there, but he, you know, put
yeah, yeah, he did.
At the end of the day, you know, iron sharpens iron. I just believe that being in that environment, you know, pretty much helps us to build our faith. Because a lot of times we need to see things inside of the church to know, you know what, I'm not the only person that's believing and that's still struggling and going through things also. Right. And so, In the assembly of the body of believers, we're able to grow our faith in such a way to give us that ammunition to continue to go on. Now, you can do everything. I mean, YouTube is the largest church in the world now. Mm-hmm. You can do that, but at the end of the day, being able to have that backbone as far as the man and woman of God that's going to stand in agreement with you, that when you're going through things that you have that, you know, that transparency, that you can pick up the telephone and you can walk in church and, you know, need that counseling, whatever it is, you know, takes, that's what technology is not being able to afford us.
That relationship.
Right.
That relationship. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've learned is, apart from relationship, you kind of like just in your own desert. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? And some people can be in their own desert and not even realize it.
Yeah. Right.
Then you ask them something, they don't have the answers, but then they complaining, but then they don't want to seek the answers.
Right.
Because we're relational beings. You know, God said it's not good that man should be alone. Mm-hmm. My mom used to always say, idle mind is the devil's workshop. Mm-hmm. In other words, when you're isolated, when you're alone, and when you're introverted, it's hard for you to be able to flourish because we are didactic. We give, but when we must receive also. Mm-hmm. And when you're left just giving or receiving, then you're incapacitating yourself for growth and for furthering yourself.
I'm sorry, Pastor. That reminds me of when we got together to discuss when we got together for the last podcast series and faith. We had some folks that was just like, I'm my own God.
Right.
What do you say to those folks?
If you're your own God, right? I'm sorry for you, because I can't speak for you. I can speak for me. I don't do everything right. I don't have all the answers. I can't determine what's going to become of my tomorrow. I need a God to rest, rule, abide over my life. Give me grace. Give me mercy. Have a future in store for me, something bigger than me to depend on. And if I am the totality of what creation is, then man, I am in a lost state.
Yeah.
Okay. And I believe that's a very good, you know, answer. But I would also extend to say, so what happens with the aftermath? Because, you know, right. a lot of times we deal with today, right. but we're not living for today. You know, as pastor just ministering in church, you know, right. a few minutes ago. It's not about today, because what happens when you close your eyes and you realize, right. and you, we didn't hear people say this a lot of times, I'd rather live my life believing as an aftermath mm-hmm. than live it as, you know, mm-hmm. not live it. And, you know, find out that there is an aftermath. Right. And you can't save yourself at that point. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, right. so, again, it's to whom. And that's the thing, too, you all. We have to realize God has blessed us in such a way that we can do really good by ourselves now. Mm-hmm. But, again, we're not living for now, y'all. Right, right. It's so past the now. Again, my hope, my faith, my belief, my peace, my joy is in him. Right. But mm-hmm. you know what? Some of us have been blessed by him the best so much that we believe we could obtain these things mm-hmm. by ourselves. But mm-hmm. what happens with the after? Right.
So, and I think that's missed so much.
It is.
It is certainly missed so much, because that was the main mm-hmm. argument from the last, you know, conversation was, you know, I've accomplished all of these things, and mm-hmm. I've done all of these things, yet I feel like as long as I'm positive and I put out positive energy
yeah.
you know, positive things are going to come back to me, you know, mm-hmm. and so true. I mean, I always believe, like, put out good energy, put out positive energy, it comes back to you. But that has nothing to do with, you know, my belief system. It's just that mm-hmm. that's the way I treat people, right. and I want to be treated the same way. But mm-hmm. it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that what I'm doing, what I believe, my time, my worship time, my prayer time is for me to grow and build and connect with God and just continue yeah. that relationship, because there is an after.
Mm-hmm. But this culture,
I don't want to be left out.
But this right. society and this culture isn't worried about tomorrow. You get what I'm saying? So what do you say for those? We have kids that are growing up. And I'm saying kids. Anybody younger than me is kids. You know, I never thought I'd turn into my parents.
Right.
That this whole YOLO, I want to live for today, so I'm not worried about tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it's tempting to live like that, because mm-hmm. now I can do what I want. There's no restrictions. There's no rules. There's nothing holding me back from enjoying what I want to enjoy. But the Bible says, and that's the principle standard for my life, mm-hmm. that sin is only pleasurable for a moment. Mm-hmm. So you can do what you want. That's mm-hmm. that's why I love my God. You know why?
Because
he allows
right,
me to be right. mm-hmm. a free moral agent. But yet, he gives me grace and mercy.
Yes.
That if I choose to do my own thing, he's not going to hate me, not going to send lightning bolts to strike me down. Mm-hmm. He's going to love me through this thing.
Right.
And who wouldn't love a God like that?
Right.
You know? And that's why we call him our Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm. And I think from a lot of guys that we were hearing last time, it come from a place of hurt. Because I was like, my grandmother was paying tithes all this uh-huh. time, and offerings, and
right.
she went home and didn't have nothing. Pastor living big and doing right. this. It's like you get these multi.
I was just about to yeah. ask about that, because I see that a lot, even in looking at social media, and, you know, people are like, well, I shouldn't have to go to church, because, you know, you got to pay to get in there. And, you know, I mean, it's just things like yeah. that. And it's, you know, it's so disheartening to see that, because they don't really, you know, understand. You know, well, for one, I mean, just look at the basics. How are the lights going to stay on?
Right.
You know, right. How are we going to get it, you know, heat, air, you know, right. when we need it? I mean, that costs.
Just a commercial facility.
Just a facility right. in itself, it costs.
And, so, and my argument has always been, of course, this is not a biblical argument. This is, I'm saying mm-hmm. like this. You go to the doctor's office, you have a copay.
Right.
Right. At home,
and
anything that you
talk to you,
but anything you love and support, you give to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? That's how I view it. Anything I mm-hmm. love, even if I was not saved, at the basic minimum, anything that I love and support, and I'm led to do, you get what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
Whatever you love, you're going to support.
Right.
And whatever you're going to support, you're going to see where you spend your money.
And they look at it right. at that one point of contact. But I, you know, if something's going on with me, you know, and I put in a phone call, and I call Pastor Lady G, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if they say, okay, Cash App me, and then we can talk?
Yeah,
you
right.
know, like,
yes.
you know, I mean,
right.
like, that's what I...
But that's how they but that's how the world kind of sees
it. If that were to happen, then maybe they would, you know, understand.
Right.
Versus, oh, you go on a trip, you write a check, and then then what?
But you know what? It goes back to what we were just talking about a second ago, relationship. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of this has stemmed from, we've seen grandma have that, you know, religion, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that, because this is what grandma, she saw grandma do. But when you have that relationship, nobody can contest the tithe, the offering, the free will giving, because naturally what's in your heart is going to naturally become a part of your pocketbook. You know, and it's not about passing, I don't have to get up there and beat you till you're blue in the face in order for you to give. But when you understand, like you said, Cherie, the lights have to come on, and you know, even to keep the doors unlocked. You come here and the door locked, then that's going to be a problem.
We're going to have church in the parking lot.
You know, so naturally, but when you understand and have that revelation, also relationship as well as revelation of all that God have been to you, that's the very least that we can do. You know, that's the very least. And I was actually talking to somebody about this here yesterday about how they think pastors just have everything, but pastor go to work. But if you ain't go to work, so why you think the church is the only means of taking care of it? But it's okay for you to drive on the parking lot with a Bentley. But when the pastor on the parking lot with a Bentley, it's a problem. Do you know the sacrifice that comes in with the man of God getting up there bringing a word, even if it's 20 minutes?
It's a great sacrifice. I mean, let me tell you something. Even being in ministry and leadership, and I know this person, it's a sacrifice. Mentoring people, I'm good on it.
You know what? It's like we talk about everything else is fading away. Sacrifice, because you only live once. These young people don't want to sacrifice for nothing. But you want, this is the issue, that we don't want the man and the woman of God to have nothing. But what we do want to be available is, when I have a problem,
I want you to stop your life.
Yeah. Don't go to your kids' game. Don't do this here. I don't care if you're sick with the flu, about to die. When I need counseling, I need
I'm in the hospital. I need you to come
see me. Mom or die, you need us at the funeral. Yeah. Your cousin getting married, you want us to marry them. But everything else, but at the end of the day, the man and woman of God can't live. We can go on.
Absolutely.
So far, this should be the
hot topic. We're going to cut that.
Y'all ain't sending me no emails.
Send them to me, JWJ.
Now, I just believe, you know, in that regard, I hear Bishop Ivy Hayes say this, because, you know, God has really blessed him. But he always say, before you criticize my getting, check my giving. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why every church isn't for everybody, right? And you have to be led to go to the church where none of that stuff matters, because the Lord is ministering to you in a way that he can allow you to see beyond that. That's why I tell somebody, don't go to church because it's popular or because you grew up there. Go because you're led to go there. And when you're led to go there, the Holy Spirit will speak to you, use the man and woman of God, that he'll be able to give you grace to be there no matter what's going on. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, that's excuses to live in your trash, live in your mess, live in the way you want to live. And the church, and it's a faith walk for people. Mm-hmm. It's a faith walk.
You're jumping ahead of me now, Pastor. That's about to be the next question. What is faith? I had to cut you off, so I'm sorry. We'll edit that. No. What is faith?
According to the Bible, it gives us a description of faith in Hebrews 11:1, which says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. You don't need faith for something that your senses can detect. So I don't have to have faith that Cash is sitting right there. I don't have to have faith that I'm sitting in this chair, because I can see this. Now, before I sit in that chair, and I don't have no experience with that chair, I have to have faith that this chair is going to hold me up. And many people, we got that type of faith all day. You know, and we can see it, and we got experience from somebody else telling us about it. We're sitting in that chair all day. But faith is believing in something beyond you, beyond what you can sense with your eyes, ears, touch, taste, smell, and allowing that to become as real as something that you can see, touch, taste, smell.
How do you get faith?
Okay. Bible says, I tell you the standard for my life. So that's where I got to go, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith, you have faith in what you heard. I use this for example. If I told you that Saks Fifth Avenue was giving away Gucci belts for $30. But either you go believe me, or you're gonna say you too good to be true. Now, if you got faith and trust, confidence in what I say, then you go get in your car, I call you an Uber, and you go to Canal Place.
Believe
and go to Fat Saks with $30. Now, nothing in Saks costs $30. Right? Either you go believe me, or you gonna say nah. That, so faith is the confidence I have in somebody's word. Somebody's word.
But even to go even further, what you say, how do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing. Not that, not because you have heard. And so you have to, on a continuous basis, continue to feed your faith. And we grow from, God takes us from faith to faith and glory to glory. So where you are today in your faith should not be where you are in your faith a year from now. Because as you continue to feed it, it's going to continue to grow. But, and that goes back to why the church.
Why our relationships.
Because when you're continually fed in that environment, your faith is strengthened. And so guess what? There's a grace for every situation that we have to go through, but that's that faith to faith. And so we can't think that we're going to come today, get saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, be able to go out and fight, you know, this world. No. You have to continue. It's a continuous walk with God, with believers, you know, assembly that we assemble together, and our faith we draw from one another. You know, the strong bearing the affirmatives of the weak and vice versa, but because we're hearing, not because we have heard.
Got it. Yeah. What would you want to add in the question? I know threw you out there.
Yeah, you did.
Let me add this. Because all of us have faith on some level. No, whether or not you say I'm religious or spiritual, because that's a whole other debate there. But all of us have faith on some level because not many people know the CEO personally of the company they work for. But you trust that CEO is going to have things in order so that you'll get paid for the services that you render.
That's right.
So, and then many of us, even on a grassroots level, you don't know them people gonna put a direct deposit in your account on Fridays. You have faith that they gonna honor their word. And that's what it is with God. We have faith.
That's a very
that,
good
number
one.
Number one, the word of God is true. And then number two, that God is gonna honor his word. Even when it comes to, like we was talking about, beyond life, beyond this mortal life. We have faith that what the Bible says is true. That we gonna reign in glory with God, set around the throne and at Jesus' feet. We have faith that if we close our eyes today or tomorrow, that that's going to be our existence.
Yeah. What was the Netflix movie that recently came out?
Bird Box.
Yeah. I believe that was a natural, that was God putting in a natural, just for people that don't think they have faith. That was a demonstration right there because naturally you're blinded. And faith is simply that. We are going into this here blinded, but trusting that God is going to be our navigation. He's going to be our navigation, and that's simply, you know what, I don't know the way. So every morning it should be God direct our path. Order our steps because I don't know how to do this thing. But faith tells me that, you know what, there's a higher being, Jesus Christ, that's going to navigate my steps, order my steps that where I need to be. Ultimately, I'm going to end up there because I'm relinquishing my thoughts of who I am and where I should be and trusting him.
Let me tell you, we could talk about this for a long time, and I'm really enjoying this. So one of the things I want to say, in closing, is I want y'all to tell the people about your church, tell them your services, tell them your outreaches, tell them how to get in contact with you. So you go for it.
All right, man, we triumphant church. 5 years old, God has kept us. It's our year of grace, and certainly we thrive ourselves on being a relevant, faith-filled church, leading people to a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's what we're called to do. And I certainly thank God for the opportunities that he's been giving us to reach out and to be a blessing to his people. We're here every Sunday, 1001 Paul Mallet Road, Luling, Louisiana, right here, right next to Ashina Hospital. Check this out, y'all. We the hospital next to the hospital. You're going to get physically healed next door. You can come here and get your spiritual healed. Amen. So we certainly want you to share with us 9:45 every Sunday. Every Sunday. You know, some people think that you only like we in the country and you have church first and third, second and fourth?
You know what? I did hear that growing up, like in the country.
Yeah. No, I was driving out somewhere.
But no, yeah. And you must have been really deep in the country.
Yo, I was deep in the country. Well, yeah, first and third. Yeah. They had service. Yeah. Well, we had every Sunday, 9:45. You can't make it here. I like to say this, like one of my pastors used to say, by reason of good conscience, you can log on Facebook Live, stream our services live, and then on Thursdays, we're in something right now called our Connect Groups, where we are connecting together in groups and growing in groups. So I want you to be a part of it, be a part of our outreaches. We just had one yesterday here in the parking lot for the Luling Parade. It was a blast. We had a great time sharing with the people of God, putting Christ in the airways. And it was just a blessing, and we look forward to you being with us, sharing with us. You can log on to our website, totallytriumphant.com. You go see this beautiful couple. On the website, if you know you're at the right place. Yeah. So I really appreciate this opportunity that we had. Great table talk. And I certainly appreciate Cherie, who's a part of our church, love her so dearly. And Cash,
yes.
Cash Money.
I'm going to sing a solo. I want you all to come out 2 Sundays from now. I'll be back.
She was going to sing today.
I'm going to sing today.
Come at 12:30.
Yeah, you know,
come at 12:30.
You know, you know, church is over at a certain time, but they're going to, I'm going to get up with my mic. I'm like, I don't know nobody expect me to.
Ooh, me?
Yeah, me. I wouldn't prepare nothing. I'll just say this. I love these people that I'm sitting with today. I mean, I've been knowing Ree for several years. Of course, Ree introduced me to Coach. And, I call her Coach. Coach tears me up in spin class. And Pastor gives the word. But
we done found out we can.
And we related. Who knew? Right, right. Look at God.
We're so deep in this river path.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So look forward to many more podcasts discussing faith, religion, hope, yes, love, and relationships. So, again, this has been awesome. Great table talk.
Yes.
And we're out.
Right.